Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast. Father, thank you for your precious word. Your ways are so different to the ways of man. Use this teaching to bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for increased wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and this powerful subject of humility. Thank you, Lord. Just give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Well, the title of this teaching today is The Power of Humility. But what is the real meaning of biblical humility? I asked myself this question recently because even though I've been a Christian for many years and I have in the past looked into the subject of humility and read obviously in the Bible about it, I really wasn't so sure. And so I decided to do a deeper study of it, not just for my own benefit, but also for the benefit of others or anybody who might be interested. It's important to note that real humility, in accordance with the Bible, is an empowerment and not a hindrance, which is in total contrast to this world system, which thrives on pride and competitiveness. Although there are many scriptures which relate to this subject, with the Holy Spirit and His help, I have chosen a few sections from the Word of God for the purpose of this teaching. As God's children, our example, of course, is the Lord Yeshua Himself, Jesus Christ, whose selfless humility resulted in the redemption of the entire human race. For those of us who have chosen to embrace and take advantage of what our beautiful Savior suffered and endured on behalf of all of us through the cross. Philippians chapter 2 paints a picture of humility in action. So starting off with verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have the same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Yeshua, look to him as your example in selfless humility." The New Living Translation says, and it puts it very well, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." In line with this, the Bible actually says in Proverbs 16 verse 5, "Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord." Therefore, pride is a serious thing from God's perspective, something which we need as believers to guard against and to avoid at all costs. Now going back to Philippians chapter 2, how exactly does selfless humility present itself? And verses 6 to 9 explains it like this: "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." In a nutshell, although Yeshua was God, and one with his Father, he did not need to prove that he was an equal with his dad. Neither was he afraid of losing his position of divine authority due to the fact that he was secure in who he was. He gave up the glories of heaven to come down and live on this earth. His cradle was a manger in a filthy, dirty stable. He became the son of humble earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, being born of a virgin through divine conception. Mary and Joseph also would really have experienced the humiliation of Mary having fallen pregnant prior to marriage. Yet they were both used as God's vessels to care for and protect the future Savior of mankind, the Anointed One, the long-awaited salvation of Israel, the Messiah, Yeshua, which means God is our salvation, who became totally human, yet he was a man without sin, blameless, humbling himself even further by being obedient to his Father and dying a dreadful death on the cross. He became a curse so that the Gentile nations could be blessed with the blessings of Abraham, as Galatians 3 verse 13 states. As a result of his sacrificial, selfless humility, he was highly exalted by God and was given the name that is above every name. Although it looked as if he'd been totally defeated, he actually gained it all back again, and so much more, by rising up victorious, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Likewise, in a similar fashion, we as believers in Christ, as God's royal representatives on this earth, his family, brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to live the abundant life which the Lord has promised each one of us on this earth, we need to learn to lose our lives by daily dying to ourselves and our own ways of doing things, our own thinking patterns, and live life in accordance to kingdom principles. Yeshua explains this in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss, and there are many who enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. This is another reason why the Lord said, how hard it is, I believe this is why he said this, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And that's Luke 18 verse 25. And his disciples, they queried this and said, well, Lord, who can possibly be saved if that is the case? And the Lord said, with God, all things are possible. So praise the Lord for that. But bottom line, whether we like it or not, each one of us is commanded in the Bible to be like Christ. The word for humble in the Greek is tapinos, T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S, and it means depressed, humiliated, in circumstances or disposition, cast down of low degree, all of which is not very appealing to the flesh, yet very necessary in order to rule and reign in life. A very simple way of looking at this is found in Matthew 18 verse 14, where Yeshua taught his disciples the importance of having childlike humility. He said, whoever humbles himself like this child, and he was holding a child on his lap, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, that is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives and become like children, trusting, humble and forgiving, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. My Bible footnote with regard to the scripture says, turn one's back on self-righteous pride and adopt a realistic self-view, that is, not thinking of oneself more highly than he ought. And obviously that would apply to a she as well, male and female. Remembering too that Yeshua expects us to be childlike in our relationship with him, yet not childish. There's a very big difference between being childlike with regard to our faith and being childish. God wants mature believers in Christ, not immature believers. No need to explain anymore, I'm sure. It also takes humility for an unsaved person to bow the knee and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. to repent and make a change by surrendering his or her life in order to become born again and live a brand new life in accordance with kingdom principles, no longer doing one's own thing, as it were. This may be especially difficult for an older person in particular, who has lived life in a certain way for many years and finds it difficult to make a change. So that's why it's so important for us as believers to have faith-filled prayers for those who are lost, because prayer always changes things. The Lord didn't have a very easy time teaching this principle of humility to his disciples due to the fact that they were quite a competitive lot, jostling for power, and he had to check out their motives in order to do some character development, just as he does with all of us as his modern-day disciples, on an individual basis, for he is the potter, and we are the clay. Mark 9 verse 33 says, "They arrived at Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them what they were discussing and arguing about on the road. But they kept quiet, because on the road they had discussed and debated with one another which one of them was the greatest." Now, sitting down to teach, he called the 12 disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all in importance and a servant of all." Now, just as the book of Proverbs states in chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, and I just want to share this with regard to what's happening with regard to the war between Israel and Hamas and the other nations that are in opposition to Israel. This scripture actually explains it very well. "The reward of humility, that is, having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverential, worshipful fear of the Lord, is riches, honor, and life. But thorns and snares are in the way of the obstinate, for their lack of honor and their wrongdoing traps them. He who guards himself with godly wisdom will be far from them and avoid the consequences they suffer." An important lesson which needs to be learnt by all those who are in opposition to the nation of Israel concerning the current situation in the Middle East. For all the enemies of Israel are actually enemies of God Almighty himself. Pride is a very deceptive thing indeed, and the cause of spiritual blindness and so much unnecessary suffering in the world today. Now, from a personal perspective, I have found that walking with the Lord over many years as a believer, that the Christian life is certainly not a bed of roses. Putting the Word of God into practice with and operating in the anointing carries with it a great price. A simple illustration being as follows. A fellow pastor's wife invited me last year to speak at the church spring luncheon for ladies. The message that the Lord gave me for this particular occasion was about knowing one's identity in Christ. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit achieved his specific plans and purposes for that meeting. It was a fruitful meeting. There were some other beautiful testimonies that took place on that particular occasion, and the Lord really moved. But for me, from a personal perspective, the following week was a real challenge because I came out with a terrible rash all over my face and body. It was an allergic reaction to camphor cream, which I'd used on broken skin. And just as a little side note, for many years, I have battled against venous stasis in my legs. It's a condition of the veins, which the Lord has brought much healing to my legs. But at the same time, I have to be very, very careful because of the fragility of my skin. I won't go into much detail about that. But what actually happened, because I had this allergic reaction, my skin came out in all of these red, horrible blotches, and I looked like something out of a horror movie, and I was very sick as a result. I literally felt like a leper in the process. My body had suffered this toxic poisoning, and to cut a long story short, my faith was very fragile, and my body was in a very bad space. I asked my husband at the time to send out prayer requests for healing on my behalf. And Graham, at a time when I was most vulnerable, he prayed through in a very powerful way. But neither of us felt that at the time that the doctor was the answer to the problem in this particular situation. Now, wisdom for every situation is very important. As Graham has always taught, it's important to have wisdom. So the Holy Spirit did not say that I must go to the doctor. And although at the time I so wanted a quick fix, and I was really worried that I would never return to normality. That's how low my faith was. Praise God for his miracle-working power. After a while, the Lord won the day, and my skin was eventually cleansed and returned to normality. I was truly humbled, and my self-esteem, it did take a knock. However, identity is not dependent on outward appearance. But it's dependent on being fearfully and wonderfully made by God in his very image. And each one of us is uniquely made by God. We are his own personal masterpieces. Praise the Lord for his loving patience in my life, as his patience is with all of his children, and his powerful ability to heal. His plans and purposes are always for our own personal benefit. Although, of course, the Lord did not cause this poisoning to take place, it was the devil, and that which the devil meant for evil, the Lord turned around for good. And this was just another experience of where symbolically out of death comes life. Christ-like humility is the order of the day in every Christian's life. And if one is not careful, it's possible to miss out on opportunities for God to speak to us. And I'm just going to share this example where I nearly missed the Lord speaking to me in a very beautiful way. Some years ago, I attended a children's church conference. And there was one workshop during the day in particular, which I really was interested in attending. But when I went into the group, I found that the speaker for this particular topic was so boring. And I thought, oh my goodness, do I have to sit through this? And the Lord pulled me up right there and said to me, my child, just listen carefully to what he has to say, despite the monotony of this session. So I submitted to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, please speak to me. And he did. And I received a message from the heart of my father on that particular occasion. What am I saying? It's so easy to miss God if there's not that attitude of humility and walking humbly before the Lord our God. The fact was that I couldn't wait for this workshop to finish, and I would have otherwise missed out on what my father had to say to me if I just listened to my feelings or to my own intellect. God's ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts. There are many, many instances that I could relate, stories that I could tell, but I will humbly refrain from going on any further because I certainly don't want to bore anybody in any way. But may the Lord use this teaching to bring fresh revelation to any person or people who might need revelation on this specific word, humility. Thank you, Father God, for this teaching. May all those who are listening to this podcast be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.